time.
It's time for the OTH Daily Podcast.
7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome to the OTH Daily Podcast. Hey everyone, good morning and welcome. January 16th, 2020. Got a great episode for you today. Darren Jeans stops on the show, director of OTH Basketball. We're going to discuss a lot of great basketball topics covering college basketball and the NBA. It's going to be a great episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. It's going to get you ready for your work day and on the way to the weekend. We're almost there, guys. Check out this episode, and I hope you enjoy it. Darren Jeans is the director of OTH Basketball. You can find him on Twitter at 2Words40.
Hey, Darren, how you doing? And good morning to you, and welcome to the OTH Daily Podcast.
Hey, great. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. As you all know, Darren is the director for OTH Basketball. It's great to have him on here. Hopefully having him on here at least once a week as we continue on at the OTH Daily. And I want to get started, Darren, with one of the most hottest topics in the NBA. That's Zion Williamson. There was talks that we might be seeing him play tonight. But that obviously wasn't the case. We're not going to see that. We're actually going to see him returning next week, the 22nd, against the San Antonio Spurs. I'm really excited to finally see him play. Just watching him in the preseason with, you know, I just keep picturing that really monstrous dunk he had there. And then obviously he came down with that meniscus tear. So I'm really excited to see him play. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as we get closer and closer to his debut.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, he's going to be an exciting player. That's there's no debate on that. You know, you can debate how good of a player he'll be, maybe. You can debate like his numbers and things like that. But when it comes to just overall excitement level, I think he's going to be one of the top five must-see players as soon as he gets on the court. I'm a little disappointed, obviously, that he's not going to be coming back sooner. Because Pelicans will be in Memphis against your Memphis Grizzlies on Monday. We were kind of hyping up the whole Ja against Zion thing. So it's very clear that they are dodging Ja Morant and they're dodging the Grizzlies because they don't want Ja to completely destroy him on national TV on the MLK game, which I understand. You know, It's hard when you have a John Morant on your team and you're going against them. So I understand. But, yeah, Memphians are a little disappointed in that just because that would have been fun to see Ja and Zion go at it. But, you know, for whatever reason, he'll come back a week from today. And like I said, as soon as he steps on the court, he will be a must-see TV product. I think, obviously, he's human, so the first few games, he will struggle a bit, and you know, the questions will come, especially if Ja keeps playing the way he's playing, the questions will begin. Oh, you know, maybe they should have picked Ja over Zion, and I've said this before. I actually wrote a piece for OTH about this. I do think Ja will have a better career than Zion.
That's very interesting as you look forward to thinking that Ja Morant might actually hold a better career, but he's been absolutely amazing. Ja Morant has been really good. Zion Williamson, we haven't been able to get that experience or what he's going to look like, obviously, against the NBA talent. In Duke, though, in the 33 games he played in his freshman season, he averaged 22.6 points per game and almost 9 total rebounds per game. So, I mean, his statistics are there, and he knows how to play pro-level basketball. Duke was a fantastic program last season. But, I could see that. How amazing would that have been if his first game would have been against the number 2 overall pick, 1 vs. 2? But I think it's probably smart to let him get a couple of games under his belt. I'm sure there's going to be some kind of minutes that they're going to probably limit him to. But let's switch over as you talk about your Memphis Grizzlies there. You know, speaking of really, you know, rookies, the impressive rookies, Ja Morant's been, you know, completely impressive so far. And you say that you think he might have a better career than Zion. Obviously, time will tell for that. But in this season alone, it looks like he's the complete front runner and running away with the Rookie of the Year award this season in the NBA.
Yeah, and it's funny because I think a lot of people, especially down here in Memphis, they kind of knew, you know, Ja's going to be really good. Like, you know, just looking at the tape, watching him play, we were convinced, yeah, this guy's going to be good. But I don't think anyone knew that he was going to be this good this soon. I mean, he looks like an NBA veteran point guard, especially when he went against James Harden a few nights ago. And he told James Harden, like, someone tell this guy about me. Like, he doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care if you're literally the defending MVP. Like, Ja Morant on the court has been a pleasure to watch. And the Grizzlies, I think, have basically jump-started their supposed rebuild almost by 2 years. Because they were, remember, the Grizz were picked last. They were picked to finish last in the Western Conference. And right now, they are in sole possession of the eighth seed. And that's obviously a lot to do because of Ja Morant and just how smart he is. And what's scary, I'll say this too, what's scary about watching him play is sometimes he comes off as like he has no idea what he's doing on the court. But he turns that into an amazing play. And I think and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that because he's so fast. His agility is so, you know, spectacular that he gets by his defenders so quickly and he gets to the rim where he's like, all right, I don't know what to do right here. Like, I can dunk it or I can pass it. It's almost like he's confused, but he always makes the play to where it works out in his favor. And it's a joy to watch. And I'm glad the Grizzlies will at least have him for hopefully his career, but definitely for at least the next 4 or 5 years.
I'm here with Darren Jeans on a Thursday morning, the director for OTH basketball. And as you said, it's no easy feat to be number 8 in the West right now, especially as a team building up like Memphis. But the Western Conference is no joke. It's no pushover. And them sitting in the playoff contention is very, very impressive. But, you know, speaking of the bottom of the Western Conference, we go to a team who was playing in the NBA Finals last season, and that's the Golden State Warriors. They've been a disappointment this season. Obviously, they've been hit with the injury bug of Steph Curry going out. Obviously, they lost Kevin Durant, who moved on to Brooklyn. And then you have Klay Thompson, who was also in the injury mix. He suffered a torn ACL in his left knee during the game 6 of the finals last year. He's suspected to be out until at least the All-Star break. He did go on record yesterday stating that he is feeling great. He's not really quite sure when he'll be back, but he said that, you know, at least his suits are well tailored. He's very, you know, he's joking. He's happy. So, I mean, where do you see that moving forward with Klay Thompson? And is it even worth bringing him back this year? Like, is it even a good idea to risk that injury, as it already looks like this season is a complete wash for the Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, if you're Steve Kerr and you're Bob Myers and you're part of the front office, that's a question you have to ask yourself. Is it really worth, you know, us putting you back on the court? Because right now, they're not making the playoffs. Like, that's just not going to happen. And, you know, next year, you're going to have Steph Curry back. You're going to have a healthy Klay Thompson. You're going to have a healthy Draymond Green. You're going to have probably most likely a top 5 pick. You know, next year, you know, you're completely reloaded. So the only reason I could think of why they would maybe put him back on the court is to just get, you know, get that rust out. Go ahead and get back used to being in game speed. Get back used to understanding how the NBA game works. Because as good as Klay Thompson is, when you're coming back from an injury like that and you're, you know, playing at an NBA type pace, it's hard to just pick it up where you left off, you know. So the only logical reason I can see for them to put him back out there is just for him to get that feel back. You know, it's almost like a natural instinct. Oh, this is how I play basketball, you know. That's the only reason I can see them putting him back out there. And even then, I still wouldn't put him back out there. And it's funny watching him on the bench. Like, he's very active. You know, he's very active. There's a clip of him talking trash all the way across the court, like laughing at the opponent. you know, Klay Thompson, when he comes back, this Golden State Warrior team is going to be a really good team, especially if they can add someone like, dare I say, James Wiseman. If they can add someone like him to really give them a presence down low and a really good, a guy they can set wicked picks behind and just step back and shoot those threes, they're going to be right back in contention, which is why this year is a free year for everyone. But, yeah, next year when he comes back fully healthy with that draft pick, they're going to be a scary team.
I really like what you said there about Klay Thompson, there's a possibility that if he did come back, it would be to knock the rust off. We're seeing that, obviously, in Dallas with Kristaps Porzingis. You can see the rust that needs to be knocked off, and it's still not there yet. So it makes you wonder if Klay Thompson's going to need that too. And, you know, hey, if James Wiseman or someone that big, you're expecting Golden State to have at least a top three pick, even with, you know, the odds of the lottery. Adding someone like that would be absolutely insane. And if they didn't go there, if they went for the guard game or something else differently, maybe an Anthony Edwards, you would have to expect that someone like D'Angelo Russell would be on the move. And that's where I'd like to segue over. Check out that segue. That was pretty impressive, huh? But the trade deadline is less than a month away. Thursday, February 6th. Yeah. And, you know, rumors are all around. I know one of the biggest rumors is Detroit Pistons' Andre Drummond, but there's some buzz happening throughout the NBA. Yeah. I'd love to hear your take. Which rumors are you really paying attention to? Which ones do you think we should really take serious as we get closer and closer to this trade deadline?
Yeah, well, you mentioned Drummond, and obviously I think that is the number one target that you want to keep your eye on. I do think Detroit will unload Drummond. I also think they will unload Derrick Rose. They will be complete sellers before the deadline comes. Where he goes, I don't know. You know, you have reports saying Boston's interested. Your reports saying possibly Miami's interested. You know, you have multiple teams obviously interested. Yeah, so, I mean, and I want to go ahead and crush this whole thing about him being overrated because, look, he can get you 20 and 20 a night. That, you know, that much we know. And it's not hard, it's not easy to literally almost average 20 and 20. He is a rebounding god. You know, if you put him down there and tell him, I need you to just rebound this game, that's what he's going to do. You know, and he can score at the same time. No, he can't really create his own offense. He's not a per se great, you know, offensive talent, but around the rim, he's one of the best, if not the best player in the league when it comes to around the rim buckets. So, if any team is lucky enough to trade, I do think Boston should take a hard look at trading for him. I understand they're off to a really good start this year, but adding a player like that while possibly keeping most of your young core together, I think that would be a difference maker when it comes to you playing against the Bucks and going against Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm sorry, I love his name. And then the second one I really want to really touch on is obviously Kyle Kuzma. I applaud the Lakers for continuing to hold out a very healthy Anthony Davis to simply showcase how good Kyle Kuzma is. It's really phenomenal. I mean, it's genius. Anthony Davis is perfectly fine. He can come back tonight. But they're like, look, Kyle Kuzma's averaging 25. Like, let's just keep playing this guy and make his draft stock shoot up. It's genius, and I do think Kyle Kuzma will be traded. Only reason I say that is because, look, the Lakers have to look at this year and the future post-LeBron. I think it's a 90% chance, obviously, Anthony Davis comes back to L.A. He didn't sign the extension for obvious reasons. We're not going to go into that. That's obvious, you know, four-year, five-year, almost $40 million difference, duh. But the Lakers have to look towards post-LeBron. Can you build with AD and Kuzma together? No. I mean, they play the same position. So it's almost impossible for you to really say, yeah, Kuzma's part of our future. If you can flip Kuzma and get a good young piece to help add when you get someone else in free agency, i.e., I don't know, Devin Booker or whatever, then that's what you do. So, yeah, I fully expect Kyle Kuzma to be traded, and I fully expect Andre Drummond to be traded as well. Also, just keep it locally, Jay for the Grizzlies, Jay Crowder, he's gone. He's played very well for the Grizzlies. He's also up to stock the last few games. I do see the Grizzlies also flipping him on a expired contract for possibly a second-round pick.
About the Kuzma trade, I want to tell you where I want him to go, and I'm going to explain why. And I think it's a really solid take, and I want you to tell me how you feel about it. I think
okay.
I want him to go to Toronto just for the fact okay. I want Justin Bieber to introduce him at his press conference. All right, because their haircuts are the same. They got the perfect look together. You wouldn't be able to tell who's who at the press conference. So I think that'd be the perfect spot. How do you feel?
I think it's perfect. I don't know what the Lakers would get back for it, but I am all here for a Justin Bieber Kyle Kuzma crossover. I am here for all of that.
Absolutely. Let's move over to college basketball.
That'll be fantastic.
You know, there's a driving question right off the bat this season. If you haven't paid attention to college basketball this year yet, if you're waiting for March Madness, you need to hurry up and start watching it now. And if you have been watching college basketball, obviously you know what I'm about to say. Yep. But does anyone actually want to be number one this year? That's the biggest thing. Like, this season has started off so crazy. No one's safe. Obviously, we've seen losses from Duke, which, you know, shout out to Ken Cotterell, SS Basketball Pod there. You know, make sure obviously, it was so fun to hear those tears yesterday. Yeah. But, you know, you've seen some, you know, a lot of teams that were already number one. I mean, Michigan State started off number one of the season. They're already four losses deep. And, you know, but there are some undefeated teams still left. There still is Auburn. Yeah. There's still San Diego State. But is anyone safe this season? And who's going to hold on to number one? Gonzaga holds it right now. But what do we see in the future? And who's your favorite right now? Yeah. If, you know, we're getting closer and closer to March Madness. So who's your top favorites? Who do you think is going to be the four number one seeds as we get to the tournament?
Yeah, well, I do think, you know, there is no – per se great team this year. There is no team where you're just like, yeah, they're really good. You know, there is no favorite. You know, it's a bunch of good average teams this year. And when you have a bunch of good average teams, you have a lot of, you know, different moving parts when it comes to rankings. I.e. the number one, I'm, you know, half of the schools in the country have been number one. You know, everyone has been number one. So at this point, if you know, you probably don't even want that ranking because you're going to lose. If I had to pick my number fours right now, my four number ones, I do think Duke somehow still sneaks in there. Only because, you know, yeah, they have two really bad losses, but their schedule allows them to play really good teams to almost erase those bad losses. You know, if you win the ACC tournament, you're almost guaranteed a number one seed. So I fully expect them to be there. I am not sold on San Diego State. I am not sold on them at all. I'm not sold on their record. I'm not sold on their schedule. Not sold. So they will not be a number one seed. But I can. But I will say this. I do see them climbing to number one eventually. Only because Gonzaga will Gonzaga. That's just how they are. They're going to lose to someone, probably St. Mary's. And I can see San Diego State just rolling in the number one. But eventually, I also see them losing as well because, like I said earlier, there is no great team. I think no one will be number one for, you know, over a month. That's just not going to happen. If I had to pick my other three number ones, tough. Michigan State's playing really well. Cassius Winston has remembered that, oh, I'm a good basketball player, and he's starting to look good again. But I don't think they can climb all the way back to number one. I do think they'll be a two. Michigan has just fallen off completely. They had a bunch of really, really good wins in the early in the season. And I don't know what happened. They just forgot, like they were a good team or something. I don't know. So they've lost plenty of games since then. I almost don't even want to give you because I don't want to go on record and be completely wrong. But I will say this. I do think Duke gets it. I do think even though Gonzaga will lose a game before the tournament, they will get one. I can see Kentucky sneaking up and getting one as well, only because, like I said, their schedule allows it. They play enough quadrant one teams to get those wins to propel them to be in there. So I can see Kentucky getting it as well. And I can see Memphis getting – no, I'm kidding. No, Memphis will not be a one seed. Hopefully they will sneak in, but no, they will not be a one seed. My four seed will stay open because I just don't know. This is one of the more exciting college basketball seasons because, you know, there's an upset almost every night. And like you mentioned earlier, most fans just kind of wait till around late February, early March to tune in, you want to tune in now because everyone's losing, you know, and it's so exciting because everyone is losing. And there's just no structure when it comes to the top 10. So yeah, I'm going to leave my fourth spot open. It's been an exciting year. But yeah, I do think Duke will somehow sneak back up. One more overrated team, Auburn, completely overrated. They will be exposed as well. Their schedule is horrible. I don't think they have one quadrant one win yet. So they will be exposed as well.
But I'll ask you next week if you filled in your fourth number one seed. Maybe you'll have an answer by then as we talk. And San Diego State, as you said, they really haven't played too many tough teams yet. And they don't look like they're going to play a ranked team all year unless someone steps into the ranked. But they do play New Mexico at the end of the month. Right now they're 15-3. That could be a tough game or possibly a trap game for them to lose their first one. And, you know, I heard you say Kentucky might go to number one. I bet that was hard for you to say as a Memphis fan. And with that being said, I'd like to talk about your home roots real quick. Talk about that Memphis team. Yeah, they've had some rough outings. I know you you had a nice little rant going on Twitter the other night with your almost loss to South Florida. You had a lot of good reasons. You had a couple good column title ideas. Yeah. But they play a great team tonight in Cincinnati. It's going to be a good matchup. So your thoughts on what's going wrong, other than losing James Wiseman, of course, that's what everybody knows if they haven't watched a single Memphis, you know, Tigers basketball game this year. But what's going on with this team and your thoughts about this game tonight, as it is some big implications in the American?
Yeah, you know, if you look at Cincinnati and you look at whom they've lost to, you would think they're a bad team. But if you look at the KenPom ratings, both of these teams are right in the top 45. So Cincinnati's not a bad team. You need this win. It's just that it's simple. There's no other way to put it. This is a must-win game for the Tigers. And you mentioned earlier that I went on a little rant. I was considering writing a 2,000-word column about how Penny Hardaway cannot coach. But I decided I'm just angry. I'm just upset. They pulled out the W. You know, and you got to remember, Memphis is the youngest team in the country, you know, and I know people keep saying that over and over and over, but you know, that's a big stat. You know, you are the youngest basketball team in the country and you lost the number one recruit. So as much as we want to pile on this team, at the same time, especially Memphis fans, we have to remember they've lost a lot and they're really young. They're a really young team. Yes, Penny brought on all this hype himself by talking a lot of trash in the offseason. But as Memphis fans, we loved it. We loved it when he said, we want all the smoke and we can beat anyone in the country and we can play. Like, we bought into all that. So we have to stand by our word. You know, it starts tonight. You have to be – there's no reason why you should not win this game. You're at home. You're favored by, I believe, 4 points. Yes, Precious apparently has a minor foot injury. But that just – you know, there are no excuses. There are no excuses. You have to almost win out at this point if you want to at least get even a 4 or 5 seed. You know, if you lose almost for the rest of the year, you're on the bubble, basically. And that's not something that this Memphis team can afford because they're still extra stupid talented, you know. And I think one thing that this staff really has to figure out, they have to figure out a way to get Boogie Ellis involved. And Boogie Ellis is a former Duke commit, and he is in a horrible slump. It's shooting – you know, he just looks like he doesn't know how to play the game of basketball. And I put that on the coaching staff. You have to figure out a way to get this kid going. He is extremely talented, and he can get you 20 points like this. So you need to figure out a way to get him involved and get him back in this game plan, because the last thing you want is to watch him walk out the door as a transfer. You have to keep him on this team. You have to keep him engaged. And, yeah, I understand Jalen Green's coming next year. Go ahead and book that as well. Go ahead and book that. Jalen Green will be a Memphis commit. Book it. But at the same time, you still want to keep Boogie Ellis because he's so talented. So tonight, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a W, and I'm looking for them to get Boogie Ellis involved, whether that be running the offense through him, pick and roll, whatever you need to do, get him involved so his confidence goes back to where it needs to be for him to be a quality player on this team, because he was the third highest ranking recruit you had. Plus, like I said, he was committed to Duke. Like, you stole him.
Heading into Memphis, however, they are 1-3 on the road. They are on a 2-game winning streak, so there's, you know, they're up in the air. But Memphis has been great at home. They've been 9-1, only one loss. They did win their last game, obviously the close one to South Florida. If they lose this one, though, they're easily going to fall out of the top 25. They are a bubble team, holding on to being ranked at 22 at this moment. So, you know, with this being said, tonight, are they gonna do the job? They're gonna win it, and I want to hear it. Are you gonna book it? What's gonna happen?
What's gonna happen? So it's gonna be a close game. Memphis and Cincinnati are rivals. They go back years and years and years. They're old rivals, so neither team is just gonna blow each other out. This is going to be a nail biter up until the end. But eventually, Precious Achiuwa will be just too much for Cincinnati to handle. You know, Cincinnati, this new game style that they play, this whole run and gun, that's not Cincinnati's mantra. They've been this in the mud, muck it up type team for years. You know, slow the game down. But now they're trying to go fast, and they don't have the players for that right now. And their coach has to realize that, and he needs to adjust to the players that he has on the roster right now. Yes, you want to go fast, but your players, they're not built like that. And until they figure that out, you know, it's very visible on the court too. Cumberland, his best player, he very clearly runs his own plays. Like, he does not do what the coach tells him to do. It's very obvious. So they're not on the same page right now. But like I said, this is a rivalry game. This is an important game for both teams, especially tournament-wise. It will be close. Go ahead and book it right now. Memphis will pull this game out. Final score is 67-63.
And if he's 1 point off, even by 1 point, I want you to call for his head. I want you to, you know, call for his resignation, everything. There's a secret mutiny going on. He keeps calling it out. So maybe I might be letting him know there's something going on. Hey, Jeans, thanks for stopping by as always. And I'll see you back here next week on the OTH Daily Podcast.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. And I'm looking forward to it.
And that'll do it for the OTH Daily Podcast here, January 16th, 2020. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Thursday. I hope you guys have a great day at work. Hope you have a great commute home. Don't get stuck in traffic. Whatever it is to make your day great, I hope it happens for you. Tomorrow we'll have Ed Stang on the show. We'll discuss and preview the AFC and NFC Championship and, of course, so much more. I hope you guys join us again tomorrow here on the OTH Daily. Take care now.
Thanks for listening. Tune in weekdays right here at the OTH Daily Podcast.